Blog Talk Radio.
There's just a list of things to do. Words on a page we wrote.
Hi everyone, it's Carly, daytime after dark, and it's July 2021. Today's guest, we have the very interesting guest, Derek Gubb. You know, he's a solo writer, and his inspiration was by Ron Collins, Bob Dylan. He's hailing from Montana. And, you know, the beaches, the palm trees, out to the front. Oh, here he is. Okay, people. Welcome, Jacob Grubb, on Daytime After Dark.
Hello.
Hey, Jacob. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. I love having new and upcoming country artist. Heck, I love to interview anyone. So how did you get your start? How did you get your start in music, first of all?
My start in music was through my mom. She forced me into piano lessons. Not really forced me, but, you know, jokingly. She put me in piano lessons at the age of 6. So that was my start. And it was tough because I had to miss lunch recess, you know, once a week, which was a big bummer for a kid, you know. It was a hard road.
Well, of course it would be.
Yeah. But after that, I picked up the saxophone in middle school. And then when I got to college, I took piano lessons all the way through high school. And then I also played college baseball, and there really just wasn't enough time to do piano and baseball, so I picked up the guitar in college. And that's when I started writing country music.
Awesome. I mean, okay. My question is, so did your mom punish you at the age of 6 to put you in piano? I mean, you know, I got kicked out of piano lessons because, yeah, I had the great fingers for it because they were long, but I had no rhythm. So, yeah, so what was your mom's reason behind making you take piano lessons?
Well,
was there
her
a reason,
reason,
or did you just get in trouble?
No. Her reason was very calculated. She knew the left brain, right brain benefits of you know, that result from playing the piano, because you're using both hands, and so that's what she told me. She knew that it would pay off in other areas of life as well, including in school and just cognitive, you know, just helping out. And so she had all us kids in piano. In fact, my sister, I got to brag about my sister. She just received her doctorate in piano performance just a couple months ago, which is pretty exciting.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. She's amazing. Oh, my gosh. You should hear her.
Wow. That is awesome. So, reading your background, so first people hearing from Montana, but I've never been to Montana, but it's like on my list to go to Montana because this is the heck of it, because I haven't gone anywhere in 18 months. I haven't gone anywhere like everyone has. I haven't gone anywhere. So that's like on my new bucket list to go to. And then
I would recommend it.
You spent some time where I love that I'm probably going to end up moving to because I live in Seattle, Boise, Idaho, because my brother lived there and all my four nieces and nephews. And I think Boise is a really good, lovely little town. And it's really nice, except in the wintertime, people. It gets freezing. It gets so cold you can't even feel your feet. So how was Boise for you? Do you like your time in Boise?
I agree with you. I think it's a lovely little town. It's so, like, clean and organized. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just the Boise people are a unique crowd too, in a good way. They're just a fun. They're almost like Canadians. They're just all really fun and it's a happy town. But geez, I would move back. And I was lucky. I had a house just right on the Boise River. It was actually south of Boise toward Caldwell, or that would be west, southwest. But it's right on the Boise River, and so I made a habit of driving upriver and just hopping in an inner tube with the cooler full of beer and floating down to my house and then getting a ride and getting my car back later. It was pretty cool. I really do love Boise, Idaho.
Yeah, I think Boise is one of the, you know, known states that doesn't give a lot of credit because of this. I don't know. I find it quieter than Seattle, number one. I just find it more peaceful, except for the snow. That's the only thing wrong with it. Like, I would not mind the heat. The heat never bothered me. Seattle just got done with 105, 107. Last week, we've never gone at the high in 20 years. And
oh my gosh.
Most people were like yelling, and I was enjoying it because, like, my body, okay, I can't, you know, I can never be too hot, but if you're cold, that's what I hate. So, yeah, it was crazy.
You
also write your song, I want to mention. And so what is your thing with Billy Currington, number one? Because I love Billy Currington, probably. I love you too, but I love Billy's music. He is one of my dream guests to get. So if you're still friends with him, you could help me. I would really appreciate it because thanks to him, that song "People Are Crazy," you cannot get out of your head, and it's all his fault. So help him out with him because I love Billy.
I love Billy too. I've never met him. I saw him play once, but when I was in Boise, so you probably read my background on that. Billy's first guitar player, Gary Tackett, was a great guy, and Gary still lives in Boise. I happened to meet him at a songwriters thing, and Gary's just been a big influence for me. He sent me to Nashville. He really connected me with a lot of people here, and I know he still talks to Billy. Him and Billy are still in contact for sure. So maybe we could pay Gary off and get Billy in your show or something.
Well, you wouldn't be making my whole lifetime if you would get Billy on the show, because I love his story. I love his music. And once again, you two don't get enough. I know you're still up and coming, but mm-hmm. I believe both of you do not get the respect you guys deserve on radio, number one. And it makes mm-hmm. me mad, because they should be playing Billy's songs every hour. No one's listening to me here. And, like, come on. All his classics, songs can never go away. I mean, he's great, and so are you. So how did the tiki bar on the beach come? Because that is a song I love, number one. And number two,
thank you.
Just thinking about tiki bar on the beach right now for me would be awesome. I would love that. So how did that come about?
Well, unlike you, you know, I'm from Northwest Montana, and I'm just not a cold weather guy, even though I grew up there. And I did live in Seattle for a while, by the way. I was in Renton for a couple of years. I don't know where you're at.
You were in Renton. Okay, so we were
yeah.
20 minutes apart. Yeah, I live in Redmond. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, that is awesome. Northwest is really good, you know. And I just keep telling people it doesn't rain. But, yeah, so the tiki on the beach with people, it comes out July 9th. So does that mean the whole album? Because right now with COVID-19, there's been so many great artists who's just been dropping songs on, like, iTunes and all that. But now the whole album was for a lot of people. So will it just be one song, or will it be like a whole album you're dropping?
Only the one song, and then I will release another song off of that album in a couple months. And then after that, after the second one's out, I'll release the whole album. So, yeah.
Well, I think with COVID-19, what happened is everything got pushed back. And, yeah, everyone wanted music so bad about that. About, we had nothing to do but listen to music or watch TV during COVID. So
right.
What made you decide to write Tiki Bar on the Beach? So what made you decide to write? Because I think it's a very catchy tune that people cannot forget in their heads.
That's a great compliment. Thank you. I decided I wrote it right after moving to Nashville. So really what was fresh on my mind was chasing the dream. And I really wasn't sitting down to write a song. I was just doing a songwriting exercise, and it was just like a lyric flow that I'll do. And I just moved, so I was just kind of getting back in the routine of writing a lot. So it was just a lyric flow exercise. And I was asking the question, what would I do if I was rich? You know, like Chris Jansen would buy him a boat and a truck to pull it. But for me, it would be, I would have a house on the beach. I would have a beach house. And then you could find me, you know, drinking Mai Tais at the nearest tiki bar frequently. So really the song's about chasing your dream, and what would you do if you had achieved your dream? What is your dream? That's really what the song's about. And I'm a total beach nut. In fact, I just went to Jimmy Buffett's concert last night here in Nashville. It was incredible. And I'm just a total beach nut.
I love him.
So,
I mean,
I love him
so
too.
So you
went
to Jimmy Buffett, right?
Yeah,
last year.
At the amphitheater.
Okay,
here. It was awesome.
Crescent, did he play 5 o'clock somewhere? I mean, come on. That got him back to the Country Fun Fund, for him to do that with Alan Jackson once 5 o'clock somewhere came. It really gave everyone almost permission to drink because it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
You're right.
So I think that everyone's excuse to, you know, drink. So how was that? I mean, how was his concert for you? Was it fun?
It was outstanding. It was inspirational to see a 74-year-old. He's 74 with that much energy, and his voice sounded great. And I just love, I mean, I not only love his song and Jimmy as a songwriter and a person, but the parrot head following, the fans are so fun. They're just, you know, wearing jean shorts and flamingo hats and just jamming out. And, you know, they're just, it's just such a lighthearted crowd. I mean, there's not a worry in the crowd. It's just like the most worry-free crowd you could find.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole scene was great. His songs, he played all the great songs. It was terrific.
Awesome. So what is your second song that you're going to drop? Will it be more like the Beast theme? Will you have some, like, bookend-hearted songs on your album?
It's a song entitled What She's Drinking On. So it's a drinking song. It's a fun party song.
See, that's good. I mean, you know, I think, you know, right now, because it's summer, is the perfect time to have all the beef songs, because even though people are still going places, not everyone's, mm-hmm. you know, ready to go places. And I think having all the beef songs is really, really good. I mean, I think so. So let me ask you, who would you want as a woman duet, a girl duet, who would you want in country music right now?
Did you say a woman duet?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As a female duet in country music. Hmm. Let me see. I'm really just a big fan of Carly Pearce. I think that would be fun. Do a duet with Carly Pearce.
Oh my God! You know what's so funny? I was gonna say that to you.
Seriously?
She is like my favorite singer in the world, woman-wise, and I'm trying to get her on the show because I love every song she has. But I think you guys' voice would be great together. So call Pence's PR. I'm saying contact Zero because they're the duet in the making.
Yeah.
I just feel like there should be a duet. So if you go get Carly on the duet, who would you be your other choice?
As far as female singers?
Yes.
Or anyone. Okay. And strictly country singers or any female singer?
Yeah, any kind, even if it's pop or whatever, yeah.
Okay.
So who would you go with?
I honestly, I think that my next choice would be Sarah Bareilles. I just have, I'm always in awe when I see her sing and play. She's incredible.
Oh, that would be really cool. And so will you be going out on tour this summer to promote your album? Or what is that looking for you like now?
As of now, I have a full schedule of shows booked in Nashville, so I don't have a tour planned. It depends on how well the single does and in what area. So luckily we're able to track that. So we'll see how well the single does, and then I'm certainly open to hitting the road if that is ideal and feasible for my campaign.
Okay.
You know?
All I gotta say, your first concert stop has to be Cielo. This has to be Cielo because, okay. Number one, I haven't gone to so in so long. So, yes, and I think that would be great. So, before I let my little co-host on, Bobby, what do you like to do for fun when you're not writing, when you're not thinking about music? What do you do?
I have a long list of things that I like to do. I mean, just right now, I'm working so hard at promoting, writing, and recording, and playing shows. You know, I like to get to the gym. I like to run. I like to exercise, get on the exercise bike. I love to watch movies. I watch way too many movies. I do like to read, but I'm pretty a streaky reader. What I really love to do is fly. I love fly fishing, and I just don't have much of a chance to do that right now. Anyways, I have just a long list of stuff I want to do that I probably won't get to half of it in my lifetime. So, but yeah, I'm a gym rat. Love movies. I like to read. If I could get out fishing more, that'd be sweet.
So, since you like exercising so much, I take it you were not one of the bad people that during COVID-19 that was in the kitchen every other hour because you were bored. I take it you were really good.
You know what I did during COVID was, I'd say two main things. One, I really perfected the egg salad sandwich because I love egg salad sandwiches. And I'm still on the weekly, I'll make just a big batch of egg salad. And I'll change it up, you know, different mayos. It's the keys to good ingredients, the hot pickles, sweet pickles, etc. And the other thing I did was I bought some gymnastics rings and hung them up from the rafters in my garage. So I started doing gymnastics workouts. I just always wanted to do that. So that was one thing I took advantage of as far as having some more time during COVID, the COVID scene.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think with the COVID thing, yeah, the kitchen was like a bad place for me. But the only good thing was COVID for me, and I'm sure it will happen this summer, that everyone that I went on could not tell me no. That was the only good thing that came out of COVID, because everyone was saying, oh, we are too busy to do so. No, you're not working. No one's going anywhere. So for me, for COVID, that was the only highlight of something actually being positive, because no one was saying no last summer. And I think this summer I'm going to, you know, not do as many interviews, which is fine. I mean, I think I did last summer over like 200 interviews for the whole summer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I never took really time off last summer because basically I couldn't go anywhere. When you can't go anywhere, this video show probably saved my sanity because doing interviews was great. So before I let my master Bobby on, so if you were, okay, I always ask the fun thing as a guest. Okay, so if it was up to you, and let's just say you got put over by the cops, okay, would it be for speeding, or would it be for something really bad like texting, you know, and have you ever got a speeding ticket? Just curious.
Yeah. Well, I attended the University of Portland in college, and so that drive from Montana, you go through the Dalles, Oregon.
Yes.
I know you've been through there. It's like a speed trap. So I got one summer, I got three speeding tickets right in a row. the dowels and what? Oh yeah, what's the? And part of it was I was driving this old Cutlass Supreme, the Sierra or something like that, and it was an all electronic dashboard, and the dashboard lights went out, so I never knew how fast I was going. And I'm a speed demon anyway, so I was just naturally going over the speed limit. And I actually wrote the judge and got out of, like, one of those, I think, and explained to him
but
I didn't have any dash lights.
It wasn't the same cop that pulled you over every time, right? Because
no, different cops.
Yeah, that would be horrible. See, like, I don't drive because no one took me, but if I'm in the car with someone and we get pulled over, and most people that are in the car with me, they never think ahead. They get too terrified of the cop. I have came up with some great stories to save us so many times.
You
like
have.
My cousin and I, this is really bad. I can't believe I'm confessing this on air. But we were going to my grandfather's funeral, and we were kind of running late. And so my cousin was driving 80 in a 40. Okay, it was bad.
Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, real bad.
Yeah, but then we got pulled over. But it was by the hospital where my grandfather just died. So me being me and me being dramatic, I lied. And I can cry at a drop of the hat. And I'm like, I'm sorry, officer. You know, our grandfather's on life support. And we're trying to get the hospital. And we won't ever speed again. And we got out of the ticket. Now, people, am I telling anyone to do this on air? No.
No.
But all I'm saying is, if you ride by the hospital, sometimes they will let you off the hook, people. I'm just saying. So, yes. And I better let Bobby on because Bobby will kill me. Hey, Bobby.
Okay.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Hey, Bobby.
Hello?
How are you?
I'm doing fine. Yeah.
Hey, good. I'm great. Yeah, thanks for asking.
Yeah, so you went to see Jimmy Buffett just last night, from what I've been told.
I sure
did.
Now,
did he sing his signature hit, Margaritaville?
Oh, yeah.
You know that you can't have a Jimmy Buffett concert without him singing Margaritaville.
I wonder if he's sick of it.
No. I don't know about that, because I've been to his restaurant in Myrtle Beach, and I just, after a while, listening to that song or listening to any of his other songs being played over the system, while you tend to get sick of hearing a Jimmy Buffett song being played.
Yeah, I agree. I love his music.
But anyways, who was your inspiration growing up as far as country music goes? Because I think Carly may have brought it up, but who was your inspiration as far as country music goes?
I would say, firstly, Pat Green was a big inspiration for me, because I went to school down in Texas, and before that, I really didn't listen to much country music. And then, if you live in Texas, it's a requirement, and you have to learn how to two-step as well. And so when I was there, Pat Green was big, and I love Pat Green. So I have Pat Green to thank for indoctrinating me into country music. And other than that, I have lots of influences. I mean, especially with songwriting, it just depends. I could be listening to anybody at any time and just catch something that catches my ear and shoots an idea into my head for a new song or something, or a new idea or a new melody or something. But, you know, I'm a big Keith Urban fan. Kenny Chesney is huge for me. I don't know if James Taylor is considered country. He's like a Jimmy Buffett, kind of one of those crossover guys. And James Taylor is a huge influence. And there's a ton of them, you know.
Right.
Lately,
right.
Old Dominion's been a big one. I love those guys.
Yeah. Now, Carly asked you this question. Will you be performing anytime soon on the road? Because with a lot of acts going back on the road, because I know that there are a lot of acts that want to perform in the arena that the hockey team in Seattle is going to be performing, that's going to be playing in this coming year, and the WNBA team is going to be playing in next year in Seattle. But are you planning to go back on the road later on this year?
I don't have any plans yet, but that could change.
Right. Well, if you ever come to the Carolinas, like Raleigh or Charlotte or anywhere like that, I'll be sure to actually make sure that you'll be able to perform as either the opening act or as the actual act.
Okay. Sweet.
All
thanks
right.
for that.
All right. Well, you have a good day.
Yep.
You
and,
too, Bobby.
Dear, thank you so much for this interview. And please tell you wonderful PR person who I love working with. Tell her to let me know when you have another show to do, because we would love to get you back on.
Of course.
Hello?
I will.
Oh.
Thanks so much.
Okay,
thank you so much for the interview.
Day.
Okay, you
one.
Too. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
That was a great interview, Carly.
Oh, thank you.
Now, I was doing some research over the acts that are coming to the Seattle area and in the fall for either to the new arena that the Kraken is going to be playing and the Storm is going to be playing next year. And as far as events, and I think Billie Eilish is one of the artists that's coming, and I know that she has ties somewhat to the soap world because her parents were on soap years ago.
Really?
So, yeah, I think so. I mean, I know that she thinks different music than our guest today does, but I'm sure that she'd be one person to interview about her parents' background.
Well, see, exactly. And so, before we go, I've been holding something in for the last couple of days. And Bobby knows when I hold something in, it cannot be good. Right, Bobby?
Right.
Okay. So, Zona Hospital. Okay. After 7 years, 8 years of Nicholas Blaine Spencer, what the hell is this recast all about? I'm sorry, for 5 minutes, I did not get the warm name and love of Lizzie Spencer.
Mm-hmm.
What pissed me off was Nicholas and Mo and Zini, meaning Spencer, Sunny, and Laura, and even Carly, all had, what's the word I'm looking for? Bobby, help me. Oh, chemistry. And you just think you want to put order? Guy now, Nicholas was older. Okay, he was not that tall. But come on, this is bullshit. And what is more bullshit to do this to the fans on a Friday? To let the fans know about this? And it was a 4-day weekend?
Right. And I don't get it. And if they're going to try to pair Spencer with Trina, I don't know if that's going to work. I mean, I mean, I can understand maybe Cam and Joshua being a couple because of what you saw Friday, but I don't know about Trina and Nicholas and what happens to Emma. I mean, as long as they don't recast the actress that plays Emma, and how would she been?
You know what? What made me mad was the way they did it so sneaky. You know, so, like, we did not know, like, the fans did not know, and right now, with everything going on the show, between Sunny not being home yet, by Jason and Carly getting married, I love Jason and Britt. Okay, everyone? I was never a Jason and Sam person. And for all these Sammers that want to say, you know, Jason ended this relationship. No, he did not. It was Sam that could not handle it. Right, Bobby?
Right. And another thing, too, if they're trying to pair Jax with Britt, it's not going to work. I'm sorry. It's not going to work.
Yeah, I love Jason and Britt. How do you feel about them?
I feel the same way, too, but I think General Hospital should stop playing different couples who we don't want together.
Well, see, I want Jason and Britt together.
I mean, I want them together. I'm not saying I don't want them together. And
you don't want Jason. Wait. You
I'm
don't
not
want
saying,
Jason and
I'm
Britt
not
together?
I mean, I want Jason and Britt together, yes. And I want Michael and Willow together.
You want Jason and Britt together, right?
That's correct.
Okay, and Michael and Willow and Sasha and Brianna. I think those three are the top three couples right now until Sunny gets home. And I'm sorry for all those Nina fans out there, really. Come on, Bobby, agree with me on this. If Carly did what Nina did by keeping someone's family, someone's husband for months, when they want to put Carly by the, you know, pull out the stake, you know? You know what I mean, Bobby, right?
Right.
So for me, I want my cousin back together. I want Jason and Britt together. I want Brianna and Sasha. I want Gladys to accidentally die because he didn't do this. Because he's acting way crazy over this baby thing. And the only good thing was we got rid of Peter and Cyrus in one soup. But that doesn't mean Cyrus will not be coming back because, you know.
No.
He's in jail, you know.
Yes.
So, yes. And then so, We have a lot to talk about on Friday. So,
do we have a guest or anybody, and what time will the show be?
What was I going to say?
We have a lot to talk about on Friday, but do we have a guest on Friday?
We also have a guest on Friday. Let's see, like my brain today, you know, okay, so we have country music artist Jeff Carson on Friday show at 5:00.
Okay.
So, yes, so Okay, what's up until then, everyone? And have a great day. And take
right.
a moment to enjoy the fact that Meghan McCain is leaving the View.
All right.
And
all right.
also, people, we have no holidays coming up except for Labor Day. Oh, Bobby, what did you do on the 1st really quick?
Nothing much. I just was listening to music and just watching the fireworks.
Yeah, for me, it didn't feel like, anything like, you know, special that day. But, you know, I think a lot of people stayed home. But have a great night, you guys, and we will see everyone on Friday.
All right, have a great day.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye.